Charles Hutchinson Gabriel was born in 1856 in a little shack on a farm in Iowa. His father taught singing schools all over the country, taught people how to sing with shape notes like we sing this evening. Little Charles took to this. In fact, he decided at an early age that he wanted to be a songwriter. He told his mother one time, he said, "I want to be famous as a gospel songwriter." And his mother said something very wise. She said, "Charles, I'd rather you write a song that would help people know the Lord than be president of the United States." Well, he wrote somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000 songs. Some of these songs we still sing today. "Brighten the Corner Where You Are," "Send the Light," "God is Calling the Prodigal," "I Stand Amazed in the Presence," "All Things Are Ready," "Come to the Feast," and many, many more songs were written by this great gospel songwriter. But you know, there's a song that Charles Gabriel wrote that is not as widely known, but I really like the words to this song. It's called "As a Volunteer," and it goes like this: "A call for loyal soldiers comes to one and all. Soldiers for the conflict, will you heed the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true? Others have enlisted, why not you? Jesus is the captain, we will never fear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer?" I want to talk about that for a few minutes this evening. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? The Lord this evening is seeking volunteers in His kingdom and in His service. I want to talk about two or three men in the Bible who volunteered, and hopefully these men will serve as inspirations for us to volunteer in the service of the Lord. Isaiah was a young man. Most scholars think Isaiah was maybe 18 or maybe even 20 years old. He wasn't very old, but he was very concerned about the state of Judah and Jerusalem. Jerusalem was filled with corruption and all kinds of sin. And so Isaiah was concerned about that. And he had a vision. And in this vision, he was in the temple. And in the temple, he saw God. He saw a vision of God. And he said that God's robes filled up the temple. And then there were seraphim flying all around the temple. By the way, this is the only place where the word seraphim is used in the Bible. Now, the word seraph or seraphim means to burn. It refers to the burning ones. These angels were like a flame of fire. Now, there are other places in the Bible where angels are described. Some angels are described as flaming fire, as having that angel that rolled away the stone at the tomb of Jesus. His face was like lightning, the Bible says. Perhaps he was a seraphim. But this is the only place where the word is used. But these seraphim were flying. Now, in the vision, Isaiah said that they had six wings. With two of their wings, they covered their faces. With two of their wings, they covered their feet. And with the other two wings, they were flying. Now, there's great symbolism in that. We don't have time to go into that symbolism this evening. But one of those seraphim spoke to another one and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the Bible says that His voice shook the temple. The doorposts shook. The foundations shook. And the temple was filled with smoke, a symbol of God's glory and His righteousness. You know what Isaiah did? When he saw that and heard that, he said, "Woe is me. Woe is me." He said, "I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among people of unclean lips." And one of those seraphim heard that and took a pair of tongs, went to the altar, took a hot burning coal off the altar, flew over there to where Isaiah was and put it to his lips. And then the seraphim said, "Now you're clean and your sins are forgiven." You know what? There must have been a moment's pause then. And then all of a sudden, God spoke from off the throne in the temple and said, "Who will we send? And who will go for us? Who will we send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." And the Lord said, go and prophesy to my people. You know, it is believed by scholars that Isaiah prophesied for at least 50 years. Some say 60 years. He had a long career as a prophet of God. And for the most part, his words were not accepted. But listen, there are 66 direct quotations in the New Testament from Isaiah. He was a great prophet, a great spokesman, a volunteer. He said, here am I, send me. Now here's what I want to know this evening. Brother Billy has talked to the young people, to the old people and the young people, especially to you young people, about making sure your life counts. Are there some boys in this audience? I see some young men and some boys in this audience. Do we have some boys who will volunteer to be preachers? Are you a young man in this audience? Will you volunteer to be a preacher? Will you make up your mind right now that you're going to dedicate yourself and study and be a preacher? We need preachers. Will you volunteer to be a missionary, an evangelist? Listen, we've got works all over this country and all over the world. And we need young men who will volunteer to go. Somebody's got to go. Young lady, you girls, will you volunteer to be a preacher's wife? Will you volunteer to be a helpmeet and help that man go and preach the gospel? We need volunteers today. Listen, there is much to do. There's work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. Jesus calls for reapers. I must act to thee. What with thou, O Master? Here am I. Send me. I like this verse. There are hungering souls who cry aloud for bread. With the bread of life, they're longing to be fed. Shall they starve and famish while a feast is free? I must be more faithful. Here am I. Send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Ready at thy bidding, Lord, send me. Listen, there are people in this country and all around the world who are starving. And I'm not talking about starving for physical food. They're starving for the bread of life. They're starving for the truth. Somebody's got to go. The Lord is looking for volunteers. Will you volunteer? Will you say, here am I, send me? Now, someone may say, Jerry, I can't be a preacher. I can't be a missionary. Well, will you volunteer to clean the church building back home? Listen, somebody has to clean the church building. Maybe not you. Will you volunteer to do that? Will you volunteer to cut the grass? Will you volunteer to encourage those that need encouraging? Maybe cook a meal for someone who's shut in? Visit somebody in the hospital? Will you volunteer in whatever capacity and in whatever way you can? The Lord is looking for volunteers. Next, I want to talk about Moses. Over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, Paul says, by faith Moses, when he came to years, listen, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now listen, there is a positive and a negative aspect to being a volunteer. When you volunteer for a good work, when you volunteer to do something for the Lord, that's a positive thing. But there's a negative side to that. Moses volunteered to suffer affliction with the people of God to do what God called him to do. But he had to refuse. You know, sometimes people say, listen, preachers, we don't want to hear those negative sermons. Don't tell us what's wrong. Don't give us all these negatives. Give us something positive. Tell us what to do. You've heard that. Tell us what to do. Well, listen, we need to do something. We need to volunteer to do the work of the Lord. There's a lot of work to do. But listen, every positive implies a negative. And if we're going to do something for the Lord, we've got to turn our back on self, on sin, on family. Sometimes we have to turn our backs on everything in order that we can give ourselves totally to the work of the Lord. Moses did that. Let me mention one more person. Now, I've talked about a couple of preachers. I've talked about a couple of prophets, Moses and Isaiah. But now I want to talk about just an ordinary, if I can say it that way, quote unquote, an ordinary Christian. As far as I know, he was not a preacher. He was just an ordinary Christian. But he was a volunteer. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, now we know that when Paul wrote this second letter to Timothy, he was in prison. He was awaiting execution. At the end of this letter, Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew that soon, and very soon, he was about to die for Jesus Christ. And Paul was over there in that jail cell alone. He was lonely. He needed some encouragement, just like you and I need encouragement. And so he writes to Timothy these sad words. 2 Timothy 1 verse 15. He says, "This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Now when he says these men from Asia have turned away from me, I presume from that these were Christians in Asia. Paul had preached in Asia, established churches all over Asia, and these men were in Rome on business. These were some Christians who were in Rome on business or for some other reason. They knew Paul was in jail, but they didn't come to Paul. I don't know why. Maybe they were afraid. They had reason to be afraid. They could have gotten themselves in trouble. They could have landed in jail too with Nero on the throne. And so because of fear or some other reason, they abandoned Paul when he needed them the most. I don't know who these two men were, Phygellus and Hermogenes, but their names live in infamy. Such sorry characters. Paul needed their encouragement, and they abandoned him. But now listen to this. He says, "The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day." Paul said there was one man. This man arrived from Rome and he sought me out. You know, the indication is he had to search for Paul. He had to search jail after jail and finally found him and refreshed Paul. I hope you've got a friend like that. You know what? In times of trouble, in times when everybody else turns away, you're looking for someone to volunteer to come and help you and nobody will come. I hope there's somebody in the church, some brother or sister that you can depend on. Back in 1972, I moved to Marietta, Georgia to work with the church out there. I was only 22 years old. And Judy and I, and Leah was just a baby, we lived in the basement of the church. One night, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, actually, the phone rang. And I answered the phone and it was a sister in the congregation. And she said, "Jerry, I need your help." She said, "My husband is drunk." Now her husband was a member of the church. I didn't know he drank. I didn't know he had that problem. She said, "He's drunk and he's over here threatening me and he's being abusive and I'm scared. You're the preacher. You're the preacher," she said. "Come over here and help me." I said, "Okay." I think I was half asleep. I hung up and I thought, what did I say? What am I going to do? I thought. I certainly didn't want to go over there by myself. Well, you know, I thought, who can I get to go with me? Well, there was a man in the church in Marietta named Lee Burson, who's gone on now. Brother Lee had a lot of problems. We all have problems. Brother Lee was quick-tempered, hard-headed. I loved him, but sometimes he would just cause problems in the church because of his personality. He liked me, though, for some reason. He and Ordell considered Judy and I their children, really. And I could deal with him when nobody else could. But I'll tell you something about Lee. If something needed to be done in the church, he did it. If there was some work that needed to be done, Lee Burson was the man to do it, with all of his other faults. So I thought about Lee. I said, "Lee," I called him up, told him what the deal was. He said, "I'll pick you up." He picked me up. We went over there. When we first got there, have you ever been around a drunk? He was loud. He was threatening her and threatening us. Well, we talked to him. Lee was a pretty big guy. He talked to him. And finally, like a drunk, he sat down and he started bawling like a baby. Got down on his knees, bawling and blubbering like a baby. He said, "I'm so ashamed," and he wanted us to pray for him. We had prayer for him. And then the next service, he came forward and we had prayer for him again. I'll never forget Lee Burson. I hope you've got somebody like that. When you need somebody, other people may not come. They may say, "Oh, I can't come. I'm sorry," but I hope you've got somebody in the church that will come to you through the snow, through the rain, through the sleet. No matter what, they will come to you. Volunteers. Volunteers in the service of the Lord. The last refrain of that great Charles Gabriel song says, "And when the war is over and the victory won, when the true and faithful gather one by one. He will crown with glory all who there appear. Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? Will you say, "Here am I, send me"?